Right, I want to greet you all this morning and greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless us, Father, as we meet together, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father. Lord, we just ask again your blessing upon us, and thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to hear your word, Lord, speak it, Father, and apply it, Lord. Again, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Appreciated the songs this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Peace, perfect peace. A lot of those songs go with what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about peace, but I want to also kind of include maybe happiness. You know, the Bible doesn't necessarily talk a lot about happiness. And I think one of the reasons is because if we truly pursue it, we'll never find it. One of the things that... It's one of those things, or several things, that the harder you try to find, the further you go away from it. It's just the harder you pursue after it, the more it goes ahead of you. It's almost like the carrot, the donkey and the carrot, you know, the guy that holds his carrot out in front of the donkey to get the carrot to chase after it. So the donkey starts running, but the stick is held onto the wagon. So it just is, whenever he moves a foot ahead, the carrot moves a foot ahead. So the faster he goes, thinking he's going to achieve it, it's always a foot ahead of him. He just never can quite reach it. And most people spend their lives just exactly that way, chasing after something and never being able to obtain it. I think that's one of the reasons today that there's so much depression in the world. You know, after a while, someone pursues happiness for so long, they finally just realize that it's not within their grasp and they just give up. So there's nothing even to chase after. And so they just settle into a state of depression. They just quit running, quit even trying to get that carrot. They just leave it there and just settle into a dark time in their lives because the very thing that they've been pursuing, they realize that it's unobtainable, and so they just sit down and give up. It's just one of the things that works that way. You know, it's kind of a mysterious thing. Usually you would think that the harder you try to do something or obtain, the closer you'd get to it. And in some things, it does work that way. But there's a few of those things that are elusive, and it's just exactly the opposite. I was watching a little deal the other evening, and kind of got the statement that, you know, there was somebody shining a flashlight around and had a little spot. You've seen a cat where he chases, they put the little spot on the floor of the light and move it, and the cat will jump on that. And you can just have a cat just jumping in all kinds of circles. And every time he pounces on that light, there's nothing there to get to. And that's the, one of the people commented on it. That's as elusive as human, as pursuing human happiness. And it is just that way. Because so many times we think we have it, and it's not there. In fact, there's nothing there to catch in the first place. It's just nothing worth pursuing. The Constitution even says one of the first things it talks about is the right that we have to pursue happiness. Well, there's a big problem with that because, like I said, as much as we want to pursue happiness, it's elusive. It's just never there. And so the hope that we have for something like that, it's just a false hope. Saying, am I saying you can't be happy? No. No, not at all. Happiness is right here and free for everyone. It's just something that's just right in front of us. You know, it's just something you chase something so long, and sometimes whenever you just turn around and stop, and then it just hits you upside the head after you've chased it so long. And then you finally realize that it's not in what you was chasing. It's in something else completely, and it just evolves right in front of you. You know, that's where being content comes. You know, if we're not content, we're just chasing after something, the more we get of it, the more we want of it. You know, one of the richest men in the world at one time, someone asked him, how much will it take to make you happy? How much money do you just have to be happy? And his reply was, more. There was no happiness in what he was doing. He was just pursuing after it. And he'd spent his life running a treadmill and may have been very successful in it, but it still wasn't satisfying. There was nothing there. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. My favorite songs, the simple trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You know, a lot of people are pursuing being happy in Jesus, and a lot of people have a faith, they say, and they've convinced themselves that if they just believe in Jesus, that everything's going to be all right and everything's good. And then there's other people who obey but don't have any faith. And they just obey and obey and obey and never find any rest or any assurance. But you combine the two, trusting in the Lord and obeying, and what you've been looking for is right in front of you. It just happens. Verse 1 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the love, my beloved, in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euryde, and I urge Syntyche, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also in the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoicing is one of those things that whenever we begin doing it and it's heartfelt, that it just lifts clouds away. It lifts darkness away. Rejoice in the Lord. And whenever we can truly rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, that is one of those things that lifts us. One of those good things that bring happiness, not in what we're pursuing, but just in the very fact that I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Just rejoice in the Lord. That in itself floods us with the very thing that we might have been pursuing, trying to satisfy ourselves. You see, one of the reasons people can never be happy is because they're pursuing it in a selfish way. And there's nothing that you pursue selfishly that will ever bring happiness or bring true happiness. You've got to get past yourself to be able to get to those things. And that's the heart I want to get to, get through today is, if you're pursuing whatever you're pursuing for yourself, you will never obtain what you're looking after. Whatever it is, if it's all for yourself, it will never bring you happiness. It will never bring you peace. It will never bring you joy. You know, it might bring you a good feeling for a little while, but it is gone, just gone, because the flesh can never be satisfied. You can never satisfy yourself. But you get past yourself and pursuing something, rejoicing in the Lord, and not just because of something it will bring you, but rejoicing in the Lord for who He is. And it just opens the floodgate of joy and peace and happiness, the good things that can come, because the self has got out of the way. And that's the reason why we can never obtain this happiness that everyone's looking for, or this elusive thing that everyone's looking for, is because we're looking at it from a selfish standpoint. We're looking at it from what I can actually get out of it, instead of giving to the Lord, and then He returns tenfold what we could ever, what we ever offer up. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Right there is this statement. A lot of times we think, be anxious for nothing. We think we start worrying about the future. We think, that's what we think whenever we're thinking anxious. That we get concerned about whether I can pay my bills, whether I can meet my, whatever we worry about. We worry about the weather. All those kind of things. That's the first thing that we think about. Something physical that we're worrying about. But you know, a lot of times we can get anxious because don't think we have faith. We can get anxious because we don't think we have happiness. We can get anxious because we don't think that we have assurance. And so we begin to get anxious about all these things, these spiritual things even. And it seems a little different because, well, this is a spiritual thing. It's all right to be anxious about all those things. You know, we shouldn't worry about money. We shouldn't worry about all those other things. But, if I think about my soul, it's all right to be anxious about that. But that's exactly what he's talking about here. Because that is what's keeping us from that peace. You know, talking with people that's been worried about their salvation, they just try so hard to please God. And it is a noble ambition. You know, it looks really different from the world to find someone just actually trying to please God. But you know, if we don't please God through faith and trust, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. You know, a lot of times we admire someone that really has an attitude that they want to please God. But they try so hard. I mean, I think that's why so many people are so religious and so strict and so hard on themselves. Because their drive is trying to seek assurance. Their drive is trying to make themselves happy. Their drive is to bring themselves peace with God. You see, it's themselves that they're actually trying to please instead of God. Because they'll do anything. I mean, there's religious groups that they'll kill, they'll do whatever it takes. They'll kill themselves even, punish themselves, torture themselves, all trying to give themselves that peace. But it's just as selfish as someone pursuing anything else in the world. Someone just, whatever we might pursue that we would look upon the world and think, oh, that's just selfish that they're doing. You know, one of the first things that Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, if I just want to, if I'm just in this world, just to save my soul from hell, and that's my only goal, is just to, so I'm saved, then that's about as selfish as it can get. That's about as selfish ambition as you can have. That's not rejoicing in the Lord always. You know, there's a lot of people that rejoice in the Lord just because He saved them. Just because I'm not going to hell anymore. So I'm going to thank the Lord for all of that. But that's not trusting in the Lord. The underlying motive of all of that can just be as selfish as anyone pursuing anything that the world has to offer. It's all self. One of the things that I've shared with people that are pursuing and just worried about being saved is you have to recklessly abandon yourself to God. Quit trying to please God. Give yourself to Him. Throw yourself at His feet. Throw yourself at His mercy. Throw yourself at Him. Get rid of yourself. And decide that He's worth following. He's worth serving because of who He is. Not just because of what He can do for you. Remember, one of the things that I grew up just scared to death that I was going to go to hell. And I went and I prayed, I was baptized, I did everything I thought I should do. But every time they preached, boy, I was right up there wondering whether I was saved or not. Wondering whether I measured up to please God. I wondered. I doubted my salvation, is what they used to call it. Doubting your salvation. But the motive of the whole thing was, I just wanted my sorry soul saved. It wasn't about God. It wasn't about Jesus outside of what He could do for me. And that's all it was. And the harder I pursued that, and the harder I ran down that, the faster I chased that carrot, the faster it ran away from me. I remember I'd fasted 2 or 3 days and my family went and did something. I don't remember just exactly what it was, but I stayed home and I just decided I'm going to stay home all day and just pray. And I'm going to figure this all out about what it means to be saved. So I spent the whole day, or a big part of it, praying. And I don't know, a while after it, something just kind of opened my mind and opened my eyes. And the Lord said, it just revealed to me that, you know, I'm not worthy to be saved. And I kept listening or thinking or praying, whatever was happening. And I got to the place where I realized I don't even deserve to be saved. Then I realized that God is worthy to be served even after I spend my whole existence in this earth serving him. And he decides, nope, you can't even go to heaven with me. He's still worthy to be served. Because it's not about me having my sorry hide saved. It's about him. And I finally just came to the conclusion that he's worthy to be saved whether I go to heaven or hell or not. He's worthy to be served whether I go to heaven or hell. It doesn't matter. Then I realized that he's just. And that if I truly merit his mercy and grace, and if I truly just trust him, he is faithful and just to forgive me and take me in. You see, it wasn't about me giving up a lot or doing all this stuff or whatever I was trying to do to please him or impress him. It was about me realizing who he is and who I am. And that he is worthy to be saved. And I am not. And I quit worrying about salvation right then. Because I decided to follow Jesus. And the blessings just come from that. The peace, I quit worrying about it. The comfort, the rest, the happiness. Because it wasn't about me anymore. It was about him. And that's where it's all got to be. That's where all goodness comes from. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those gifts are not something we chase after. We give up and pursue him, and all those things come. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace that you just think so fragile and so delicate, and we just seek after it and just try so hard to obtain, is peace which surpasses all comprehension, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The very thing that we quit pursuing for itself, we just have. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. So many of these things that when we give up, what we're really searching for is when we find them. Recklessly abandon yourself to the Lord. Lose yourself. Give up on your opinion of yourself. Die to yourself and trust in the Lord. It's just such a blessing. You know, that song, I'll firmly stand. But if you decide a longer stay, then I'll stay. You know, the things we pursue, the peace and happiness and all those things, whenever we pursue just letting the Lord be Lord, and I'm just going to trust in Him, that's when we begin to obtain those things. You know, we used to tell the boys, I haven't said it in a long time, somebody got close to saying it today, but we tell our children, if you want to do something, you don't have to. You know, I heard some of the boys that we used to say that to, that used to just aggravate them so bad whenever I'd say that. You know, we'd tell them to go do a chore and they'd grumble or complain or tell them they had to do something. They'd just bellyache and whine, cry about it. And then we'd just say, well, if you wanted to do this, you wouldn't have to. And at first they thought, oh, I won't have to. But that wasn't what we were saying. If you want to do something, you don't have to do something. You know, just changing our attitude, turning things around. It's all right here. We're all going through this. We're all living this life. But if we just make that one little paradigm shift, give up on yourself, trust in the Lord. It's just like that little saying, if you want to, you don't have to. Because if you give yourself to the Lord, He'll take care of it. But it's that little thing that we just don't want to give it up and trust Him that keeps us from it. And we just guard ourselves, oh, I don't want to make this mistake and that mistake and this mistake, thinking that that's going to be the thing that pleases God. But that's not it. Trust Him, and all of that will just fall into place. Just like we would tell our children that if you just had a good attitude and decided you want to do something, it'll make all the difference in the world about you doing it. I've told the story a bunch that whenever I was a freshman or a sophomore, I don't even know when it was, in playing basketball. I hate exercising. I mean, I don't mind if I've got a chore to do or something at work, I'll just stay till it's done. It doesn't matter. But just to go out and just exercise, just to stand there and do something over and over and over again for no reason to accomplish anything that you can see, I hate that. And so we would have to get in shape to play basketball. And we'd have to run back and forth in the gym. The first few weeks, we didn't even hardly play basketball. We just ran and did exercises. And I did exactly as little as I could get by with. I mean, if we had to run laps in the gym, I would be dead last from the very beginning, just dragging along, just having to do this. And I did that for years. And then, I don't know what it was, maybe somebody inspired me, I don't even remember, but I decided, you know, doesn't take any more energy to finish first as it does last. And that just transformed everything that I did from then on. Instead of having to do this, I decided I'm going to be the best I can at whatever I do. And if I fall down, I'll get right back up. But I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to change my attitude about this, is what it was. And that's the only thing you and I have control over, is our attitude. We can be just exactly what we want to be. That little shift that changed. I won't bore you with all the heroics I did in basketball and sports after that, you know, but it made a change. It made a difference. Die to yourself. Give up on yourself. And trust in the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. And that's how we actually find happiness. That's how we actually find joy and peace, is when we quit seeking them as the goal. We give up on them as the goal and seek the Lord. And lo and behold, once we give those up, We usually we're one of these days we just look around and we've got the very thing we might have spent our whole life looking for. And it's just there. The joy, the peace, the happiness, the rejoicing in the Lord. May the Lord add His blessings.
Our assignment for this week was to bring something that our parents taught us that we appreciate and tell about it. And one thing I appreciate about my dad is how he has taught us to stand on our own 2 feet when we're trying to start up a business or something to earn a little money. And he'll provide us a building to do it in, and he'll help us out, but he makes us, for the most part, make the decisions and pay for the expenses.
One thing I've learned from my parents is to be steady, not make decisions in haste, but to be patient and see what happens. And that's something I'm still learning. It's just been important to me.
One thing I appreciate that my parents have tried to teach us is honesty, whether it's in at work or home. Just try to tell the truth and try to keep everything straight.
I'm still learning lots of different things from my parents, but one thing they've really taught us is how you don't have to only take care of your own things. You can take initiative of things that are, you know, other people's. Just look around and take responsibility of things, even if it's not something that you're usually, you know, responsible of taking care of.
One thing my parents have taught me is responsibility and the want to do what's right, not because I have to or if I don't, something will happen, or, you know, but just because it's right and that's what needs to happen, and so responsibility, that's a blessing to be taught that.
One thing my parents have taught me is to go the extra mile and don't just do enough to scrape by, and just do, like, if you could just do a little bit and get by, but it's better to do more and do better.
One thing that my parents have taught me is how to just enjoy working and watching things get done that you do, and just being a help until you have free time.
I'm thankful that my parents are teaching me how to be a hard worker.
When I was younger, my dad was really hard on us boys about taking responsibility for the things that we did. I struggled a lot with it as a kid. I didn't like to be the one getting in trouble for things, even though, yeah, I was a part of it, or my other brothers were a part of it. But I still struggle with it sometimes, even today. I try to, you know, try to blame things on others, but something I really am working on, and I appreciate my dad taught me that.
Morning, everybody. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 3, verse 23. I'd like to read the last half of this chapter. Verse 23, "My son, do not be careless, but keep my counsel and thinking, that your soul may live and grace may abound around your neck." I've been thinking a lot this week or month about taking life seriously and not just floating along. And I think it's really easy for us to get careless with the short time that we have. And I have a verse here in Luke 12:48 we don't have to turn to. Says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And we've been given so much here by our parents and church that let's not be careless with it. And let's see. We'll just continue reading here in verse 25. "And there will be healing for your flesh and care for your bones, that you may walk confidently in peace in all your ways, and your foot may not stumble. For if you sit down, you will be without fear. And if you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant." And I was thinking while we were the peace, perfect peace song kind of went with that pretty good that we sang this morning. And if you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. And do not be afraid of intimidation when it comes to you, nor the attack of the ungodly when it comes at you. For the Lord will be over all your ways, and he will plant your feet firmly, that you may not be shaken. Do not withhold doing good to the needy. When you may give a helping hand, do not say, when you are able to do good, come back tomorrow, and I'll give you something. For you do not know what the next day will bring forth. And I was thinking about the giving here. It doesn't have to be money or food necessarily. It could be your time or many other things. Verse 32. Do not devise evil things against your friend who dwells beside you and trusts in you. Do not be ready to quarrel with a man in vain, lest he do you some harm. Do not incur the reproach of evil men, neither seek their ways. For every lawless man is unclean before the Lord, and he does not sit among the righteous. The curse of God is in the house of the ungodly, but he blesses the dwellings of the righteous. The Lord opposes the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but the ungodly exalt dishonor. I was thinking of that last verse there, the ungodly exalt dishonor. And we seem to see more and more of that recently. And one more verse that stuck out to me is, do not be ready to quarrel with a man in vain. That's just one thing for us to think about. That's all I had. Any prayer requests? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful week and nice weather and fellowship and friends and good community. Thank you for everything you've given us, and pray for David that you give him words to speak this morning. Help us do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good.